When you see someone who has joy in that situation, what they really have is a confidence in something that's better, that is locked in, that nothing that happens in this life is ever going to be forever, but my forever exists in a perfect heaven with my Savior. And when I think about that and I dwell on that, I know it sounds crazy, but this stuff just doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That's joy. Welcome to Study with Friends. We're a group of women studying the Bible together, inviting you to join us as we deepen our relationship with God through His Word. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and pull up the series in the search box. You can listen there online or search on iTunes or tune in online radio. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on our website, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner of the site to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. When you can't be with us here, we love being able to encourage you there. This week, we start a new series on the fruit of the Spirit, which is listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We're going through this list, contrasting the world's definition of these words against God's biblical definition, and figuring out together how that can inform our growth in Him. Let's start in prayer. Lord, I thank You so much for the time that You gift us to spend in Your Word. There's busy, and more busy. And it's easy to forget to spend time in Your Word. It's easy not to prioritize time with You and time in the Word. And so I just especially feel so grateful after a busy season that we would have the opportunity to do this. And so thank You, Lord, for helping us carve out the time. And God, I ask that You would just be in us and among us as we talk about the topic of the fruits of the Spirit. And Lord, would You guide our words and be the author of everything that we do and say here today. And would You just increase Your Holy Spirit, please, Lord, in our space so that we know You better and we can love You better even as we leave here today. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so today I have Kay and Maria and Cindy, and everybody knows Holly, so I don't really do an introduction of myself because everybody's so totally sick of me anyway. So why don't you introduce yourself, tell the listeners a little bit about you, and then we'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit.
My name is Kay, and I am the mother of two adult children and the wife of an amazing husband. I work for my church. I have been on staff for 15 years. I love my job. I love the Lord. And I love coming to these studies.
We love having you here. I love you. I love all of you. It's such a gift that I get to do this with you guys. It's like, I feel like a kid in a candy store. Okay, Maria, your turn.
Good morning. This is exciting for me to be here. So thank you. And so I am Maria, and I am a wife. And I am a mother of two fun tweens, teenagers, and recently new owner to a dog and a second dog, adopted dog. So life is busy and fun, so I try to keep it as intentional as possible. So being here today in the midst of craziness, this is perfect for me. So I'm thankful to be here. Thank you.
Well said. I'm glad to be here too. I was just expressing to Holly last night that reading through this chapter in Galatians was much better plan than what I had originally intended, which was crossing some things off my to-do list. So I'm fortunate to be here as well. My name is Cindy. I am a wife and mother of three young adult teenage children, two in college and one in high school.
Thank you. Okay, so today's topic is the fruit of the Spirit, which I got to tell you, I don't know if you had the same experience that I had. I feel like this is something I've been through 400 times. I feel really familiar with this subject, which is funny because it's one of the reasons that after a season of not having some recordings, we're just coming out of repeats. So thank you for sticking with us if you're still listening after we repeated material. I needed something that I didn't find too scary to jump back into. And then, you know, as God always does, He just opened up some new stuff. And I was just like, man, you never find the bottom of the well. you know? Mm-hmm. So I was going through it in preparation for our time together. And I'm going to lift out some of the things that were new to me and fresh for me. But there may be a commonness to that experience that those of us who are doing it around the table and anyone who does it with us later feels pretty familiar with this passage, but we'll also be mindful of people for whom this is brand new. So we'll try to make sure that we hit it at all the levels. Let's go ahead and read our core text, which is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Who has that?
I have that.
Okay.
Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 to 23.
And that's our core text. I'll start by saying this. I am a fan of the lists in the Bible. Like, I really appreciate when God is just like, here's the list. You know, like, here's what you should do. And just so we are aware, just prior to that passage in the text is a list of stuff you shouldn't be doing, mm-hmm. which I also appreciate, mm-hmm. just when he makes it that clear, because I know that he's not hiding from me and he wants me to unpack every bit of his word. But there are days when I'm just like, thanks for keeping it easy and being clear, because there's really no squinkiness about that list. You can't really misunderstand it. And I appreciate that. There's so much in the Bible that's open for interpretation, which you end up agreeing, not agreeing with people that you love. But this one really doesn't fall under that category. So I just want to say yay for the lists. And in our homework, we listed out the fruit of the Spirit. I said to list it, and normally I would have you write that in, but then I just went ahead and gave you a cheat by putting it in there for you because I felt generous. And so what I'd like to do is first for us to have a quick overview of the thing of what you think each of these things mean. And then what I'm going to do is we're going to pull up some passages from elsewhere in the Bible that speak into what these things mean. Because as I was saying at the outset, one of the things that struck me very heavily as I was going through this is I have an idea, I have a concept of what each of these things is in my head. And I know what they are. I know what they mean. But I started to have a really difficult time defining them. Like, what is love? That's very difficult to write. Like, here's the definition of love. We can talk about what love looks like, what love feels like, but how do you define it? And I actually found that was happening again and again. And so, of course, since this is a Bible study and since it's a Bible verse and since I think we should author our lives by God's definitions anyway, I was like, okay, well, how does the Bible define these things? And that was challenging and enlightening all at the same time. So when I give, like, let's start with a baseline understanding, as elementary as it seems, let's just have a little chat about what these things, the fruits of the Spirit, look like. What does love look like? What is joy? What is peace? What are these things? So you guys go in whatever strikes your fancy.
I just want to point out really quick, if you notice, it says the fruit, not fruits. Mm-hmm. It is a singular. It is not a plural. So we have to focus that these are individually on their own. They're not, you want all of these, but individually, love is love. Joy is joy. Mm-hmm. So what is love? To me, God is love. That's how I know what love is.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I'm thinking about what you said. So it's the fruit, not the fruits.
And God calls us to love him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, encompasses love.
Mm-hmm. All of these together are the fruit. And I have to tell you, I did a children's story on the fruit of the Spirit in church. But I said the fruits of the Spirit. I got called out on it.
Did someone correct you? Mm-hmm. Leave it to our loving congregation.
After worship and you know, after everybody had left church, the pastor came to me and told me it's the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And someone had told him.
Good. Yeah. That's actually good insight, because right now what I'm thinking about is when Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit, I guess you're pointing out is this is the product of the Spirit dwelling
Correct.
That's good. That's
so
good.
So you think
we're actually going to circle back to that?
Okay.
After we do the list, but I didn't process that, so I'm glad you brought it forward in the first. Anybody else want to say anything about love?
I will. I agree with Maria. God is love. I love that. I know that. I feel it. But in a physical sense, my children, the first time I held my first baby was just a love that I had never known.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think there's various different kinds of love. Mm. And ultimately, knowing God is love, and the love that he has for me is so unconditional and amazing. And I wish that I could give that love to everyone. I'm not able to do that, but I wish I could.
Well, I always think that's why throughout the Bible, God uses different ways to describe his relationship with us, such as referring to him as our Heavenly Father, because we can understand that we can never understand fully God's love, but we can understand the love that we have for our children. That's something that we experience here on earth, but we can't even really barely put into words.
Okay, how about joy?
Joy is a fun one for me. Like, I think of joy as just exuberant, like just it flows out of you so uncontrollably. It's not something you can contain. It is that part of you that you want the world to see your joy and where your joy comes from, whether it's from a simple, you know, blue sky and great weather, or from the joy of holding your firstborn child or any of your children in your arms for the very first time or the thousandth time. It is that joy that just is, I want to tell the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think on Facebook, and I don't do Facebook personally, but I think people experience a lot of joy on Facebook, and that's what you see is their best, and which is great. They want the world to know their best. So not that I want to put joy in God or Facebook and God in the same, really, but
no, I think you're hitting it.
But it's that's joy.
I remember learning in a Bible study years ago that joy, true joy, not happiness from your circumstances, but the joy that you can receive from a relationship with God, joy gives you energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have found that to be true. When I am joyful about something, I have more energy to pursue that interest or do something special for that person. When I'm joyful about something, I have much more energy towards it.
I have learned in Bible studies in the past, there's a difference between joy and happiness. And I think we should circle back to that, but I'll probably hit that note when we talk about the Bible definition of joy.
Okay.
Actually, you know, why don't we do it one at a time? I'm going to go back to love. There was a lot about love in the Bible, as I'm sure you can imagine. And I wish that there was a, like I said, I think that I was struggling with defining it, but I guess it seems cliche, but the best love verse is that 1 Corinthians 13, which everybody uses at their wedding. So even if you're a person with very limited experience in faith, if you've been to a wedding, you've probably heard this verse. Let's read that. And I think it gives us a good insight. And actually, when we read it, and as we frame each of these fruits, it's okay. I pluralized it. It's okay. Each one of these components of the fruit of the Spirit, as we walk through them, I want you to be mindful in thinking about, one of you said already, there's sort of an element of God and of self. So what does love look like? What is godly love? What does God's example of love look like? And what does my action of love look like? Because obviously those aren't going to be the same. We strive towards God's example, but we miss the mark. So let's just be mindful of those things that are, that there's two sides to each of these, that the core text tells us that the Spirit is growing these things in us. So he's growing us towards God's perfection in these ways. So I want to make sure that we're aware of both sides of that. Who has 1 Corinthians?
I have it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7.
Yeah.
Can I just point something out real quick?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my wedding verses. Yes.
Me too.
But for some reason, when you read that right there, it hit me what love is not first. He tells us what love is not before he goes into what love is. And I find that really,
actually,
I feel like I just heard that for the first time.
It says mostly nots. It says a couple yeses, patient and kind.
Which are both
fruits. A bunch of noes.
Right.
Yep. Well, we're going to see that actually all this fruit
goes in there.
It's all tied together.
Absolutely.
And when you define one thing, often you'll see one of the other words that's actually used to give a context. I noticed that a lot when I was researching the biblical understanding of each of these things, which actually makes sense when we talk about the plural versus the singular. It's really all one thing. Selflessness, humility. That's one of the ways we display love, right? It's one of the ways we display patience.
Self-control.
Yep. So they're really all totally tied together.
Sure.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, this is another thing I always appreciate in scripture when you tell me what it is and then you tell me what it's not. It just helps me to separate the things as they should be separated and make sure that I'm drawing that line. That was a really good observation.
I had a friend whose pastor, when she was engaged and preparing for marriage, suggested that she and her soon-to-be husband hang this verse in their home as a way to remind yourself, reading it and inserting your name for the word love. So I don't know if you sound like you've heard that before.
Yes, we did do that.
It's challenging, isn't it?
And even the word it.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Cindy is patient. Cindy is kind. Cindy does not envy.
Oh my gosh. That's so good.
I'm going to use that with my kids because I have a little picture here of what the fruit of the spirits are. And I'm going to put Luke is and Logan is. And I'm going to have them read it to me.
I actually love that because it's really giving you a reflection of the best version of yourself.
Right?
Yes.
It's more
powerful. And encouraging you towards that.
Yes.
Totally want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm doing that.
That stuck with me. It was from a long time ago.
A new idea for a canvas, right?
Oh, I love that. Thanks, Cindy. That was good.
Thank you.
So, okay. So we have our really here we see the first example of the two sides of the coin. God's love is perfect. It's perfect all the time. And this is what we strive towards. This is the perfect expression of what love would look like if we could achieve it, which we can't, but these are the goals we're shooting for. I hate to be cliche, so I really looked for other places in the Bible where I could find a really good, solid definition of love. And then I was like, you know what? It's actually not cliche. It's many more and smarter people than I found this before me. And that's why it's so common, because it is the best definition of love in the Bible. I was like, why do I always have to swim against the stream? Just go with it, Holly. Okay. So let's circle back to joy now. I'm sorry that we went a little bit out of order, but we talked a little bit about joy and happiness and what joy looks like and what it feels like and how we've experienced that. Now I want to look a little bit at James 1, verses 2 through 4. And I'll tell you that a little nugget that I got in my research was, and I don't know how to say it, but I'll spell it for you. The Greek word originally used in this particular passage is chara or kara, C-H-A-R-A. And what the definition of that is exceedingly glad, which I think does fall in line with what we were talking about. You might not be happy, but you can still have joy. And so I think we need to flesh that out for everybody. And then a little bit later on in the conversation, we're going to talk about how we actually do that on the hot pavement of life. Who has James chapter 1 to read for us?
I do, and I'm really excited because it is one of my favorites and one that I actually say to my children a lot. Be joy. Do it with joy. With everything that they go through. So the verse again is James 1, 2 through 4. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. That's James 1, 2 through 4.
So I think this is a good biblical definition for joy because it's right there juxtaposed next to trials. And that's, I think, when you get to the meat of what God's talking about when he refers to joy. Do any of you want to say more about that before I keep going on it?
I do. I agree with that. And just to add to that in a very simple way, what you're talking about is that joy is not based on circumstances. We can have joy when we're going through trials like it's talking about in this verse here. And I think that is what I learned the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is something that you can have based on your circumstances, whereas joy is not based on your circumstances.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're speaking in assumptive language here, and I think we should stop for just a second and talk about that, because those of us around the table, pretty mature group today, which is great. Although I have to tell you that I love when we have a new believer or even a seeker around the table, because they're like, well, how do you do that? How do you have joy when your circumstances are cruddy? So I have to be that voice, because we all know, but we have to say it. Who wants to say it?
Well, I think it's how we react under pressure. Is that what you're saying? So true joy is when you're going through something really bad or difficult, or however you want to say it, your joy is still there because you know it's coming from the Lord. That's truly a gift from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's where I go with it. It's how am I going to react in this situation?
I'm going through a few things with someone in my family. And when we're talking and something has happened, I say, okay, you know, this stinks. What can we find in this that's good? Mm. What good has happened in this, and how can we focus on that while we're trying to get through the situation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how has this impacted our lives?
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. I want to respond to that if it's okay.
Uh-oh.
No. Because I know you. So what I would say to you is, on the surface, that sounds like just optimism. But I know what drives your optimism, and that's what I want to make sure that we hit. What drives our optimism, and you said it, you skirted by it, this comes from the Lord. Yes, we know that everything is good. There's a new song that I just downloaded like earlier this week, and I just kept singing it in the car. I don't even know the name of it. Thy Will Be Done. Do you know? It's by Hillary Scott.
Yes.
And I think that that's a really good encapsulation of what I'm trying to get to here, which is, your plans for me are good. This doesn't feel good, but I believe in your promises. I believe what you've promised me. And guess what? Even if I don't see those promises and in the way that I think I should or I'd like to, even if I never get better, even if I never, whatever, fill in the blank, even if XYZ never happens this side of glory, my joy comes from the fact that this is a temporary state. No matter what I'm dealing with, it's temporary. And my joy comes from not the future of my life here, but my future with the Lord, which is going to be so much longer and so much better that it dwarfs everything if I'm doing it right. And I'm not trying to minimize. There's so many things that you can go through in this life that are huge and seem immovable and unbelievable. And I've experienced some of those things, and I've walked through those things with friends, and I'm not minimizing that. What I'm saying is, when you see someone who has joy in that situation, what they really have is a confidence in something that's better, that is locked in, that nothing that happens in this life is ever going to be forever, but my forever exists in a perfect heaven with my Savior. And when I think about that and I dwell on that, I know it sounds crazy, but this stuff just doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That's joy. To me, that's the fundamental core of joy. And that's why I want to just, I'm looking at all of your eyeballs, and I know that that's where your joy comes from too. Mm-hmm. But when we get in groups like this with mature Christians, we talk in assumptive language where we all understand that's the core of our joy, but we have to make sure we break it down, because we have an empty mic today. And so I always think about like the listener or the seeker, and what would she be asking and what would they be thinking? And if you don't know that's where our joy is coming from, I don't want to rob you, and you walk away from this and you're like, but I don't know how to do that. I don't know that's lost to me. Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's Word at every stage of your spiritual growth. Because we are listener-supported, we do rely on your prayers and financial support. This month, we're considering the radio station plan for 2017. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org or a donation. All donations go directly to the cost of teaching God's Word on air and online. Please consider a donation of any amount. It's really not the amount you give. No amount is too small. We just want to know that we're bearing fruit here on your station. You can contact us and let us know where you listen, and also give most easily at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Don't forget you can listen online too. We have every radio series we've ever done archived on studywithfriends.org, so tool around on our website to find topics that interest you. While you're there, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner to follow us for daily inspiration and encouragement. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Next week, we'll talk more about the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22 and 23, joy, peace, and patience. See you next time on Study with Friends.